Welcome to our Monday, Thursday evening service. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know that my Redeemer lives. We continue with singing the hymn, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Loving Father, like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and later pronounced, "Crucify him," we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Remembering the events of Holy Week helps us see ourselves for what we are, sinners in need of a Savior. O King of glory, we confess that our praise of your majesty has often been faint, our performance as citizens of your kingdom treacherous, for we have surrendered to the enemy by our secret and our known sins. For our treason you died, Lord Jesus. For our restoration you rose again. Draw us closer to you in this holy week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears and our hearts the wonder of your grace. God's mighty power is shown chiefly in the weakness of Jesus, his riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, his bitter agony in Gethsemane, as well as in his bloody sweat on Good Friday. And his resurrection assures you that his promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours, now and indeed forever. I know that my Redeemer lives. We continue with the last verse of Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, since you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon himself and to suffer death upon the cross, mercifully grant that we may patiently follow the example of his great humility and share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this evening is from Job chapter 41, verses 20 through 34. Out of his nostrils comes forth smoke, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame comes forth from his mouth. In his neck abides strength, and terror dances before him. The folds of his flesh stick together, firmly cast on him and immovable. His heart is hard as a stone, hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it does not avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. He counts iron as straw, and bronze as rotted wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. For him, sling stones are turned to stubble. Clubs are counted as stubble. He laughs at the rattle of javelins. His underparts are like sharp potsherds. He spreads himself like a threshing sledge on the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him he leaves a shining wake. One would think the deep to be white-haired. On earth there is not his like, a creature without fear. He sees everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle for this evening is from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but not on my own behalf. I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had been eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue by singing the hymn 657, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There have been many different monsters throughout our history on Earth. Many of them are known to us. I myself am an avid reader of all things fantasy related. I've read books about towering monstrosities, giants that heads go into the clouds. I have read of dangerous beasts, almost as if they were part lion, goat, and a tail of a snake. Such destructive creatures are known throughout all of history. You go back to the earliest myths, to the Greek mythologies, to the Norse mythologies, and to any ancient religion, a pagan religion. There are monsters upon monsters out there in the world. One of the most famous, however, one that when I think of the quintessential monster, comes from one of my favorite childhood books. I'll see if you can guess who this monster is. There he lay, a vast red golden dragon, fast asleep. A thrumming came from his jaws and nostrils, and wisps of smoke, but his fires were low in slumber. Beneath him, under all his limbs, and his huge coiled tail, and about him on all sides, stretching away across the unseen floors, lay countless piles of precious things, gold wrought and unwrought, gems and jewels, and silver red stained in the ruddy light. He lay, with wings folded like an immeasurable bat, turned partly on one side, so that the hobbit could see his underparts and his long pale belly, crusted with gems and fragments of gold from his long line on his costly bed. This is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit's description of the great red dragon, Smaug. J.R.R. Tolkien describes this beast as colossal, larger than any other creature that the young Bilbo Baggins had ever seen, frightening and monstrous. He didn't get this idea from his own imagination, though. Dragons have been a part of many cultures' mythology for centuries. And yet, J.R.R. Tolkien took quite a bit of, well, inspiration from one from our own history. We've been talking this entire Lenten series about Job, about how he has suffered greatly because of Satan, how God has allowed Satan to destroy Job utterly, except his life. Last week, we heard God speak after much silence. This week, we see God speaking of one who has always been there, one who might sound familiar to all of you. Behold, the hope of man is false. He is laid low even at the sight of him. No one is so fierce that he dares to stir him up. I will not keep silence concerning his limbs. Around his teeth is terror. His back is made of row of shields, shut up closely as with a seal. His sneezing flashes forth light, and his eyes are the eyelids of dawn. Out of his mouth goes flaming torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils come forth smoke, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. On earth there is not his like, a creature without fear. He sees everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. A great beast with terror in his maw. God is describing the great and terrible beast known as Leviathan. This creature has an enormous time spent in the later parts of Job describing how great and terrible that he was. You can actually make parallels to see how Tolkien took inspiration from this creature for his own dragon Smaug. However, this creature, unlike Smaug, is real. This creature has been with Job the entirety of his time. Leviathan. Satan himself. Where God was silent and then spoke of the latter parts, Satan never quite left the picture. He was always there. First, he was attacking Job. There was none on earth like his equal. Great winds came and destroyed Job's family. Great people destroyed his entire livelihood. Plague and pestilence were put upon him. And then his friends came, and Satan, that toothy serpent, was always there. Through his friends whispering conceits, through his friends whispering false judgments, false teachings, and even speaking to Job in pride, having the audacity for the clay to talk back to the potter. Satan has never left this story. He has always been there. And when God finally comes and talks, he acknowledges the power of Satan. He is strong. None on earth are like him. He is like a great dragon. No one is able to conquer him. Job wasn't. He fell. He was a man beset on all sides, and though he did repent, praise be to God, the devil was still there, controlled by God himself. For remember, God placed limits on what the devil could do, but still he raged across the world, a great towering beast. Destruction followed his wake. We only need to see at God's own people, the Israelites, how God had called them to be his own, but the serpent was always there, whispering in their ears that they could be so much more, that they didn't need God. They could disobey his commandments. They were better off in Egypt. We don't need God. We can go into our own promised land, make peace treaties with our enemies, even though they try to murder, capture, and destroy us. We don't need God. Or maybe we could be our own God. Maybe we could be strong and mighty, having our own king to tell us just like everyone else. Masters of our own fate. On earth, there was no one his equal. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Satan, the devil, was always in the details. We now come to this Holy Week, to Christ's Passion. And even here we see the devil trying his best. Throughout his entire ministry, Satan was up to his old tricks. That dragon was trying to consume the very Son of God himself. He did it in many ways, even before this week. He did it right when Jesus was born. Herod wanted to kill him. It failed. And so the devil, being a murderer and a father of all lies, did the next thing. He waited for an opportune time to strike where he would come and burn down the very Son of God. And so, after 40 days of fasting in the desert, he came to Jesus and tempted him with all of the things of this world. He resisted. This was different. This was new. No one had resisted the devil before. Remember, there was no one on earth like him. No one could even come up to him to don the armor and fight him as an equal to slay this mighty dragon. And yet, one man just that. And the devil could not let this stand. And so throughout the entire ministry of Jesus Christ upon the earth, we see the devil up to his old tricks. He sent his legions, his armies, his demons into people so that they would arouse the people to be against Jesus, who would, in a way, reveal the mystery before Christ himself could. And so they would say, "You are the Christ. What would you have to do with us?" And yet Jesus said, "Be quiet. Get out." and the demons left. On earth, there was none like his equal, and yet here is a man who can destroy and control the Satan's armies. No, this could not stand for the devil. And so he went in sickness and plague, as he did with Job, and yet Christ healed. Again, he brought death, and yet Christ raised people to life. On earth, there was none his equal, but now there was. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, come down from heaven and fleshed as a man for the propitiation of our sins. The devil thought he had won, though. He was trying to kill Jesus. And so he brought out the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders, to turn against him, to try to kill him. He would turn his own disciples against him. Judas, one of the 12, would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He would get the very people to destroy the entire Christ. And they would crucify him, even after wishing him welcome into their city. On earth, there is none as equal. And yet, this week we remember Christ's death. It is a dark time. We see all manner of evil around our world today. Even if the coronavirus was not ravaging our world, it seems that we would have other things. There would still be death. There would still be hurt. People would suffer. Wars would rage. On earth, there was none his equal. And yet, there is Christ. Amidst all this darkness, today we celebrate on this Maundy Thursday Christ defeating Satan once again. And he does it in the most extraordinary way, knowing that all things were coming to pass, knowing that he was going to die, and so fulfill the scriptures, fulfill that plan that God had made for the salvation of the world. Christ would give his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. He would go with his disciples in an upper room, and he would pour out his body and his blood. The hour had come for all things to be fulfilled, and as Christ proclaimed that he was the living water and the bread of life, he fulfilled it during this time of great darkness. Listen to what our Lord did to combat, defeat Satan. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins." Jesus gave his life, his own body and blood, so that the snares of the devil do not overcome his disciples. Where the devil even tried to sow discord and betrayal with Judas, Jesus did not stop his life-giving work. Even to the moment of his death, Christ was giving forgiveness of sins, new life, and the promise that whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup will never die, but have eternal life. This is the hope of Maundy Thursday. This is the promise. Remember, the devil is bound. Remember that Leviathan is a creature of God. God explained the power of Leviathan to Job so that Job would understand that as powerful as this beast appears to be, God is greater. Though the dragon rage and froth, his flames are nothing compared to the power of God, to his body and blood. Where the devil has his limits, God has none. Where he can destroy, God heals. This is our victory. The devil, though he schemes and rages, cannot overcome Christ. Leviathan is silenced. But while we could not contend with it, Christ crushed his head upon the foot of the cross. Where he could not be bound, Christ took all of his power away. The dragon is conquered. Life is won. Though it seems even today the devil still has his talons and teeth bared against us, they are dulled and broken. For Christ has won victory over him through his body and his blood, his death and his resurrection. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we admit that we are in a battle with a crafty and cunning enemy. Your word calls him Satan or accuser. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. In fact, he is likened to a monster called Leviathan, who is connected with death, deceiving serpent, and who is even a deadly dragon. On earth is not his equal, yet we believe this devil is under your control. He has fallen from heaven like lightning. Indeed, the day is coming when he will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. We claim this victory, our victory, on Palm Sunday, secured when Jesus died and sealed when he rose on the third day. I know that my Redeemer lives. We take a moment of silence to remember those God has laid on our hearts. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Luke Mayer to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and yesterday confirming the gift of faith you gave him at his baptism. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, he may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord of life, we ask that you watch over all your children affected by the coronavirus. Be merciful to the sick and spare the lives you have given. Relieve their pain, guard from all danger, and restore them according to your gracious will. Be present with those who live with underlying conditions which make them so much more susceptible to the virus. Grant wisdom to the doctors and researchers who are working tirelessly to find a cure for this dreaded disease. And make us all more aware that you give life and you sustain that life so that we may live as your faithful children and witnesses to your work of salvation for all. Hear these and all our prayers, loving Father, for we pray in the matchless name of Jesus, who taught and enables us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with hymn number 512, At the Name of Jesus.
My God, my God, why have you left me here? Where are you now when I need you near to rescue me?
My God, my God.